Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a Jungle 808 tail and turning it into a smoky warehouse riser in Ableton Live 12. This is an intermediate DNB technique, and honestly, it's one of those moves that instantly makes your arrangement feel more serious, more tense, and way less generic. A lot of producers reach for a standard white noise riser when they need a build, but in drum and bass that can feel a little too shiny, a little too polite. What we want instead is something with weight, something that feels like pressure building in a dark room. A sliced 808 tail gives you exactly that, because even when you process it heavily, the sound still carries low-end character and harmonic body. The goal here is not just to make something go upward in pitch. The goal is to make the listener feel tension increasing in layers. First it's grounded and heavy, then it gets unstable, then it thins out and starts to feel dangerous right before the drop. That kind of evolution is perfect for rollers, jungle, halftime switches, and darker minimal DNB. So let's build it. Start with a long 808 tail, not a punchy kick with a tiny tail, and not a super clean sign that has no attitude. You want something that already has some decay and some flavor. If the sample is a little dirty or distorted, even better. That helps the final result sit in a warehouse-style context instead of sounding like a polished pop transition. Drag the 808 tail into an audio track in Ableton. Trim away the transient if there is one, so you're left with the body of the tail. If needed, consolidate the clip so it's easy to work with. You want at least a second or two of usable material, because the whole idea is to slice it into pieces and turn it into a phrase, not just a one-shot effect. Before slicing, give the source a little character. Keep it subtle. We are not destroying it yet, just seasoning it. A simple starting chain could be saturator with a few dB of drive, autofilter low passing the sound somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, and utility, if you need to collapse a wide stereo source down to center. If the tail feels too clean, a touch of drum bus or a tiny bit of redux can add grain. The idea is to pre-shape the source so the slices already have some attitude before they become MIDI controlled. Once you've got a version you like, resample or bounce that processed tail to a fresh audio clip. This gives you a cleaner source to slice and makes the workflow more predictable. Now right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the slicing dialog, go with transient if the tail has some clear movement, because that usually gives you the most useful fragments. If the tail is smoother, 1/8 or 1/4 beat slicing can work too. The key is to create slices that feel playable, not random. Ableton will create a drum rock with each slice mapped across pads. This is where the sound stops being a static sample and becomes a performance tool. Open a MIDI clip for the drum rock and start writing a build. Don't think of it as a loop. Think of it as a phrase with motion. A good approach is to start sparse. Maybe one slice on beat one, then another after a half bar, then gradually increase density as you move forward. In the first half of a four-bar build, keep it grounded and spacious. In the second half, make it more active. By the last bar, you want it to feel urgent. That layered motion matters a lot in drum and bass. If everything ramps up too evenly, the build can feel flat. Instead, think in phases. Grounded first, unstable second. Let the listener feel the shift. Now let's make it rise musically. Inside the drum rack or simpler chain, start adjusting pitch across the slices. You can push some slices up by a couple of semitones and others higher, maybe up to 7 semitones across the phrase. Use coarse tuning if you want a stronger stepped feel. If you need subtle correction, use fine tuning. And if a slice gets too thin, you can layer a lower version underneath a higher one to keep some body while still climbing. For darker DNB, you do not need a clean melodic run-up. In fact, a little ambiguity is often better. Slightly odd intervals, a few repeated notes, or some semi-random upward movement can feel more underground than a neat scale climb. We are aiming for pressure, not pop harmony. Now we shape the motion with effects. A really strong chain here is autofilter, saturator, frequency shifter, echo, and reverb. You can place these after the drum rack or on returns depending on how you like to work. Automate the autofilter, so it starts dark and low, then gradually opens over 4 or 8 bars. You might begin around 150 to 300 Hz and open it towards several kilohertz near the peak. Add a little resonance if you want that inhaling, choking tension, but don't overdo it. You want pressure, not a whistle. Then automate saturator so the build gets a little dirtier over time. Even a small rise in drive can make the final bar feel more urgent. A very light frequency shifter can add unstable metallic movement. Keep it subtle. Tiny shifts, low dry slash wet. This is one of those effects that works best when you feel it more than you hear it directly. Echo is great for giving the slices a sense of space and residue. Try tempo syncing the delay to 1/8 or 1/16, with moderate feedback and filtered repeat so you don't cloud the low end. Reverb should stay controlled too. Use short or medium decay, and high pass the reverb return so the build stays clean in the mix. A useful habit here is to automate the space only near the end. Let the first part of the build feel tighter and more focused, then open up the delay or reverb in the final bar. That contrast helps the drop feel bigger. Next, make the build groove with the drums instead of floating above them. A sliced riser can easily become too rigid if every note lands perfectly on the grid. Nudge a few slices slightly ahead or behind. Shorten some note lengths. If your track has jungle swing or a shufflier pocket, try a little groove pool swing. The goal is to make the build feel like it belongs in the rhythm of the tune. This is especially important in DNB because the drums are often already busy. If your breakbeat is doing a lot, keep the riser simpler. If the drums drop out or open up, you can afford more activity. Let the riser answer the drums. Don't let it fight them. Now we deal with the low end, because this part matters a lot. Even though the source is an 808 tail, you do not want the riser holding onto sub-frequencies all the way through the build. That will compete with the kick and bass and can make the drop feel smaller. Use EQ8 and high-pass the riser somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz depending on the track. If it sounds boxy, dip a little in the 200 to 400 Hz region. You can also use utility to control stereo width, especially if the source has smeared low-end spread. If needed, sidechain the riser gently to the drum so it ducks a little and stays out of the way. That mix control is what makes this feel like a proper DNB transition instead of just a cool effect. Now shape the ending. Don't just let the build loop to a random stop. The final moment matters a lot. You can cut the riser a little early for a sharp inhale, or stop at a 16th or 8th note before the drop, so the downbeat lands harder. You can also automate a final pitch jump on the last slice, or add a reversed slice or reverse reverb into the drop. Sometimes the smartest move is just a tiny moment of near silence. In drum and bass, that little hole before the drop can make the kick and snare feel huge. Once you've got a version that works, resample it to audio. This is a really good intermediate habit. It keeps you from endlessly tweaking, and lets you treat the riser like arrangement material instead of a never-ending sound design experiment. After resampling, consolidate it, rename it clearly, and save different versions. Make one dirtier, one cleaner, maybe one more stereo. That way, you've got options for different sections of the track. A subtle intro build might need a restrained version, while a heavier switch-up can use the more aggressive one. Here's a really useful mental model. Think of the riser as punctuation. It's not the main event. It's there to frame the drop, the switch, or the fill. If you treat it that way, your arrangement will feel more intentional. A few pro tips before we wrap up. Let the slices misbehave a little. Slightly uneven note lengths, an unexpected repeated slice, or a tiny gap can make the build feel more human and more underground. If you want extra jungle flavor, layer in a subtle reverse break hit under the riser. If you want more instability, use frequency shifter very lightly. If you want the final bar to hit harder, keep the stereo image narrow until the end, then widen it slightly right before the drop. You can also build two versions in parallel. One clean and focused, one smeared and distorted. Automate them against each other so the energy shifts over time. That can sound huge in a neuro-influenced or darker halftime section. And if you want to practice this properly, make three versions from the same 808 tail, a subtle four-bar build, a denser two-bar version, and a broken one-bar switch-up. Test them against the same drum loop at your project tempo, and listen for which one creates tension without masking the snare. So the big takeaway is this. A sliced 808 tail is a fast way to get smoky, warehouse-style tension in Ableton Live 12. Slice it, sequence it, pitch it, filter it, and control the low end. Build the motion in phases. Keep the arrangement purposeful, and resample your best versions so you can reuse them in future DNB tracks. Do that, and you'll go from generic risers to something that feels dark, gritty, and absolutely ready for the drop.